Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It's good to be here with you again today. Thank you for being there. Heralds of Hope is honored to study and share God's Word with you. We count it a privilege to teach from the Bible and thank God for the opportunity to share this teaching around the world. Along with Bible teaching, we also do Bible distribution, and I share this example from one of our partners in Uganda. We had purchased native language Bibles for him, and he was distributing them in his area. One of the pastors was overjoyed to have a new Bible because the Bible he was currently using started with number 16 and ended at 1 Corinthians 11. The front and back of his Bible were missing. Again, we were thankful to God to be able to help this man with his word. As you think of us, pray for Heralds of Hope and ask God to guide us as we share his word. Today we are looking at the last few verses in John 19. Before we go there, imagine with me, put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. You just spent the last 3 years with Jesus. You saw him calm the storm. You were there when he healed the sick. You even saw him call Lazarus out of the grave. You are convinced this is the Messiah. This is the one God promised. Generations have been waiting for him. You are convinced that he can do anything. This is the Messiah who will conquer and rule the world. Unfortunately, all your hopes and dreams have been killed, just like Jesus. He is lying in a tomb, and your vision for the future is there with him. It's over. How could you have been so wrong? How can God be so far away and so silent? Why is God not listening? Does he even care? You remember one of Jesus' last questions. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you feel the same way. It's dark, it's difficult, and it's depressing. You question everything. Why am I here? What is true? Who is God? This was a very hard time for the disciples, and I'm guessing you also have been in a season where God has been silent and felt far away. This is a desert, and the desert is God's place of preparation. It is not easy or fun, but we can see how God has shaped many people through hard times. James and Peter call this the trying of your faith. Many have experienced a season of this, and if you are there, take courage. You are in good company. For example, look at Moses. He spent 40 years in the wilderness before God called him to lead the children of Israel. That is a very long time. Remember Joseph. His journey had many ups and downs. Just when things seemed to be going well with Potiphar, he was soon back in prison. I am sure Joseph wondered, "Where is God? I was doing what God told me to do." Think about David and how he was anointed king as a young man. Then he spent many years running for his life as King Saul tried to kill him. Psalms shows us he wrestled with many of these big questions. Even Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. It was after the desert when he began his public ministry. These are just a few of God using very difficult circumstances to mold and shape his servants. There are others in the Bible, and I'm sure you know some of these stories personally. If you are in this place where life doesn't make sense, I offer these two thoughts of encouragement for you. One, you can do it. Hold on. Continue trusting God. Every promise he has made is true. The only basis I have for saying this is the second point. If I could go back to the disciples in today's lesson, I would have told them this. The resurrection is coming. Jesus is dead, but he won't stay dead. I offer the same encouragement to everyone who finds themselves in a desert. Jesus is alive. Because he is alive, we have hope in every situation. We know someday soon he will conquer and rule the world, just like the disciples were expecting him to do way back then. That's when it will make sense. Save your big questions for then. Jesus himself will be able to answer them. Take courage. Jesus cares and sees, and his word says, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't give up. Now, let's give our attention to Pastor J. Mark for today's lesson titled, "Where Did They Lay Him?"
Some who read the records of the crucifixion of Jesus claim that he never died. Now that is hardly possible if we're honest with the record. To say that Jesus never died ignores historical fact. And then there are others who claim that he wasn't crucified. But again, the record in the Bible leaves us no doubt. When we take the words in their true sense, we are led to the conclusion that yes, he was crucified, and yes, he died. And the record tells us he died sooner than the thieves who were crucified with him, and his death was validated by the Roman soldiers. Because it was a religious holiday, it was necessary to bury the bodies quickly. There were two men who loved Jesus. They were unknown to his disciples, and those two men came upon the scene to fill that need. It's recorded for us in John chapter 19 and verses 38 to 42. So I invite you to listen as I read those verses, John 19, 38 to 42. "And after this," that is, after Jesus had died, "Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein no man had ever been laid. There they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was near at hand." As we watch the actions of these two men, certain details establish the fact of the burial of Jesus, and they answer the question, "Where did they lay him?" The first detail relating to the burial of Jesus' body is the permission. Joseph of Arimathea was the spokesman. He went secretly to Pilate because he feared the Jews, and he asked Pilate for permission to have the body. He obtained permission, and so they took the body of Jesus down from the cross. Apparently, Jesus' disciples and others who loved him were too frightened to ask permission. Mark's gospel reports that Pilate was not sure that Jesus was already dead, so he asked the centurion who was in command of the Roman soldiers at the crucifixion. And the captain of the soldiers verified that yes, Jesus was truly dead. Joseph was a bold man, even though he went secretly to get this permission. You see, the Jewish feast of the Passover was near. He must act quickly to take care of the body of Jesus. He risked his reputation, indeed, but he was willing to do it. And so there was this detail of permission. And then there's another detail relating to the burial of Jesus. It is the preparation. Here another man comes on the scene. His name is Nicodemus. He and Joseph worked together. And you may recall in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus was the one who came to visit Jesus by night. Jesus called him then a master or a teacher in Israel. And one other time after that initial meeting, Nicodemus stood in defense of Jesus when the Sanhedrin would have condemned him before they even gave him a chance to testify. Nicodemus must have been a believer. He came to help Joseph take care of the body of Jesus, and he was prepared. He came with a mixture of spices, myrrh and aloes. The text says about 100 pound weight or 50 kilograms. So they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as was the practice of the Jews at that time when they buried someone. It seems to me that Nicodemus was a man of forethought. He came prepared with the spices and with the linen, because they knew they must take care of this quickly. They didn't have much time. So these dedicated men with loving hands did what they could to the body of Jesus. This is a beautiful detail, the preparation that they made. And that leads us to the final detail that relates to the burial of Jesus. It is the place. I read, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. It was near the hill of crucifixion. And there was a new tomb there, a tomb that had never been used. I have seen pictures from Calvary outside of Jerusalem's old city wall. The garden and the tomb are visible there. And it was there that they laid the body of Jesus. They acted quickly because it was the Jewish day of preparation for the feast of the Passover, a very significant feast in Jewish life. The sepulcher was near at hand. Matthew wrote that Joseph used his own new tomb, so they laid his body in this tomb where no one had ever been laid before." These details leave no doubt that Jesus died and was buried. The centurion acknowledged that he was dead, and Pilate gave his permission to remove the body from the cross. And then Joseph and Nicodemus prepared their spices and linen to take care of his dead body. And finally, they selected a place prepared for the dead body and entombed him in the sepulchre in which no one had ever been laid.
Thank you, J. Mark, for today's teaching from God's Word, and thank you for joining us. It is a privilege for us to study God's Word and learn from it. Now, take what you heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. And we want to bless you as you follow Jesus and share him with those around you. If you have any questions, or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we'd be happy to give you one. Here are several ways you can reach us. The quickest and easiest way is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the third way you could contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please check out our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Here are several ways you can reach us. The quickest and easiest way is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the third way you could contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. We thank you again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.